All right, everybody, buckle up. Today, we are diving deep into Third Point's Q3 2024 investor letter.
Yeah, it's a juicy one. Lots to unpack.
It's packed with bold moves, some interesting market forecasting. Definitely caught my eye. What are we waiting for? Let's jump in. First things first, Third Point's offshore fund saw a 3.9% gain in Q3,
Not bad.
brings their year-to-date return to a respectable 13%. Now, that number on its own might not sound groundbreaking, but here's the kicker. They outperformed those Magnificent Seven tech giants we always hear about.
Interesting. That's a pretty significant detail. It speaks to a broader shift we're seeing in the market.
Right.
Returns aren't just riding on the coattails of big tech anymore.
Right.
We're seeing rate-sensitive stocks and cyclical stocks suddenly finding their footing again.
Yeah.
Almost like investors are starting to bake in that Fed easing cycle we've all been anticipating.
Okay, so some interesting moves there. But of course, we can't ignore the elephant in the room, the election. It's got everyone a little bit on edge, right? What's Third Point's take on how that's going to shake things up?
Yeah, well, they're actually leaning into it. Third Point is predicting a Republican win. And get this, they see a potential America First policy approach as a gold mine for specific industries.
Oh, wow. So instead of shying away from that political risk, they're basically saying, game on. That's a pretty bold move.
It is bold.
Yeah.
But they're backing it up. They're looking at things like increased domestic manufacturing, infrastructure spending going through the roof, even a potential surge in prices for certain materials, commodities, things like that.
Wow.
And here's the hedge. They're also factoring in a very likely Republican Senate majority, regardless of who actually wins the presidency. To them, it acts as a safety net, potentially softening any negative economic impacts.
Okay, so they're hedging their bets on multiple levels. That's some next level strategy. We've got to give them that. But politics aside, what about the economy overall? Are we all headed for a recession, or is there hope?
Well, they're not pulling out the recession along just yet.
Okay, good.
They are acknowledging the inflation slowdown we've been seeing. But they believe those real interest rates still have a ways to go before things really feel stable.
Makes sense.
The silver lining here, at least according to Third Point, they're banking on the resilience of consumer spending, the everyday person, and individual investors to kind of keep the markets afloat.
Okay, so maybe hold off on building that bunker for now. But if they're not panicking about a recession, where are they seeing the opportunities in this kind of environment?
They're all about what they call event-driven investing.
Event-driven investing, what is that?
Yeah, so they're seeing this market as prime time for profiting from those corporate shakeups, those market disruptions that tend to make other investors a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
We're talking about things like mergers, spinoffs, even companies restructuring under pressure.
Yeah.
Basically, they're looking for those pockets of opportunity that others might miss in all the chaos.
I love it. So they're not just going with the flow. They're like, okay, how can we use this to our advantage? I like that. And speaking of unexpected moves, can we talk about DSV? Because a Danish freight company isn't exactly what comes to mind when I think market movers.
Right.
Help me understand this one.
I know. It might not sound super exciting on the surface, but DSV's story, trust me, it's anything but boring.
Okay.
They've been quietly building this global logistics empire. And their recent acquisition of DB Schenker.
Yeah.
Total game changer. This catapulted them to the number three spot in the global freight forwarding industry.
Wow. Okay, so that's a power play. But what's the secret sauce? What makes them different from just any other shipping company out there?
It's not just about moving boxes from point A to point B.
Right.
It's about mastering complexity. They're handling these incredibly intricate supply chains, offering value-added services that very few of their competitors can match. And get this, they're securing partnerships with some of the biggest players in the game. Need an example. They're the exclusive logistics partner for Saudi Arabia's NEOM project. You know, that massive city of the future they're building.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard about that.
That's DSV.
So they're not just along for the ride. They are in the driver's seat.
100%. And they've got a CEO who knows how to steer. This is a shareholder value champion.
Yeah.
He understands that this level of expertise, this efficiency, it directly translates to a healthy bottom line.
Yeah.
And you better believe investors are paying attention.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. From freight forwarding to, wait for it, movie theaters.
Right. It's a little unexpected.
Now that's a plot twist. Tell me more about the Cinemark bet. Because in the age of streaming, isn't that a little like betting on Blockbuster?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But that's what makes it such a fascinating play. Third Point's taking this contrarian stance here, and honestly, they might be onto something.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me. Why Cinemark? Are they expecting people to suddenly ditch their Netflix subscriptions and just flock back to the theaters?
Well, it's not quite that simple. But their reasoning is actually pretty sound. They point to Cinemark's impressive resilience. Remember, this is a company that weathered the pandemic storm.
True, yeah.
They came out swinging. Where other theater chains struggled, they strategically streamlined. They kept their venues in top shape, and in all that chaos, they actually increased their market share.
Wow. So it's less about a grand resurgence of movie theaters and more about them just being the last one standing when the dust settles.
You got it. And they're also pushing back on this narrative that the dip in box office numbers we've seen lately, it's not a sign of streaming's permanent victory.
Yeah.
They're saying it's more a temporary blip caused by those pandemic-related production issues, you know, and those Hollywood strikes.
Yeah.
So they're betting that the allure of that big screen experience hasn't actually faded. And recent moves by some of those major studios seem to support that idea.
It does make you wonder, with even the streaming giants like Amazon and Apple dipping their toes into theatrical releases, is Third Point actually early to the game on a resurgence of the big screen experience?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't have a crystal ball, but I can say they're strategically positioning themselves to capitalize no matter what comes next. And that, in and of itself, is a pretty smart move.
That's true. That's true. All right, so we've covered global logistics, a potential comeback for the silver screen. What other surprises are hidden in Third Point's playbook? Because they're not exactly known for shying away from more complex plays.
You're telling me, and speaking of complex, we need to talk about their moves in the credit market.
Okay.
Now, I know it's not as flashy as, you know, betting on the next blockbuster hit, but trust me, this is where things get really, really interesting.
Okay.
I think these insights into Third Point's credit plays, this might actually be the most valuable takeaway for our listeners today.
All right, let's dive in then. What are they up to in this world of credit?
Well, they're seeing some impressive returns. Their corporate credit portfolio, in particular, is doing incredibly well.
Oh, okay.
They've been laser focused on navigating what they call creditor-on-creditor violence.
Wait, creditor violence? That sounds intense. Paint a picture for me. How does that even work?
Okay, so think of it like a really high-stakes game of financial chess, right? Yeah. We've got a company, let's call it Company X, and they decide to restructure their debt. Sometimes that restructuring benefits certain creditors, but actually hurts others.
Oh, I see.
So Third Point is using these things called co-op agreements to basically make sure that they're not left holding the bag, that they're not on the losing end of these deals.
Okay, so it's all about anticipating those power plays, making sure they're holding the right cards when the music stops.
Precisely. And that's just one piece of the puzzle. They're also making waves in something called structured credit, specifically mortgage securities. They've been really smart about capitalizing on the recent treasury rallies.
Oh, okay.
They're using their expertise to sniff out these hidden gems that are offering really attractive yields.
So they're playing 4D chess while everyone else is still struggling with checkers.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
I'm not even going to lie. The credit market is way more exciting than I thought.
Right. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We haven't even gotten into their private investments yet.
And private investments, that's where they get to play a little venture capitalist,
yeah.
Right? That's always a long game. I'm curious about what they've got cooking over there.
It's the perfect example of their patience, you know, their willingness to really back their convictions. Remember when we talked about them embracing calculated risks?
Yeah.
Their investment in R2 Semiconductor.
Okay.
Perfect illustration of that. They've been backing this company for over 15 years.
15 years.
15 years waiting for the stars to align.
That's longer than some companies even exist. There's got to be a good story there. Tell me about R2 Semiconductor. What's so special about them?
So they've developed some really groundbreaking technology, all related to power management in microchips.
Okay.
Essentially, they're figuring out how to make those chips more energy efficient without sacrificing any of that performance, which, as you can imagine, is kind of a big deal in the world of semiconductors.
Right.
But here's where it gets even juicier.
Okay.
They were locked in this legal battle with Intel.
No.
Oh, yeah. Over patent infringement.
Wow. Okay. So it's like David versus Goliath, but in the tech world.
Exactly.
How did that all play out?
Well, I guess you could say David held his own.
Good for them.
Intel and R2, they ultimately settled their dispute.
Okay.
Now, the specific terms, totally confidential.
Of course, yeah.
But Third Point did report a significant gain from that settlement this quarter.
That's incredible. So not only did they see the potential in this company early on, they stuck with it through this massive legal battle with a tech giant. Talk about conviction. What does this tell us about their overall investing philosophy?
Well, I think it just underscores their long-term vision, their willingness to go against the grain a little bit. They're not afraid to back an underdog.
Yeah.
Even if it takes years, in this case, over a decade, to see a return, this isn't about chasing those quick wins, you know?
Right.
It's about identifying those innovations, those game-changing companies early on, and playing that long game.
It makes you wonder what other innovations are just kind of bubbling under the surface of their portfolio, just waiting for the right moment.
Right. Who knows what they've got up their sleeve?
Exactly. So as we start to wrap up our deep dive into the world of Third Point, what are the key takeaways here? What should we, as investors, as people who are just interested in the markets, what should we be paying attention to?
Well, I think first and foremost, they're approaching the market with this really interesting balance of cautious optimism. Despite all the uncertainty swirling around, you know, they're still finding opportunities in these shifting sands. They're not just reacting to the headlines. They're anticipating them.
Right.
Whether it's the impact of the upcoming election or really diving deep into those often overlooked opportunities like we talked about, that event-driven investing.
And let's not forget their knack for finding those hidden gems, those companies like DSV and Cinemark that maybe aren't on everyone's radar but have this amazing potential to really deliver some outsized returns.
Totally. It's a good reminder that sometimes those most interesting plays are the ones that are kind of flying under the radar.
It's around 100%.
And while they're not afraid to make a bold move, they're incredibly strategic. Always playing the long game. That R2 semiconductor win.
Yeah.
That's a testament to their patience.
Yeah.
Their ability to spot those long-term trends before they become glaringly obvious.
It really is. So what does this all mean for you, our listener?
Well, it's a glimpse into the minds of some of the savviest investors out there. They're doing their homework.
Absolutely.
They're dissecting these industries. They're analyzing these companies top to bottom. And then they're building their investment thesis based on rigorous research. You know, it's a powerful reminder that knowledge is power. The more you understand about these forces shaping the market, the better equipped you are to navigate the complexity.
Exactly.
To seize those opportunities that other people might completely miss.
It's about asking the right questions. It's about challenging your assumptions and maybe even embracing a little bit of that contrarian spirit, right?
Love that.
Because that's where those interesting opportunities often lie, just beyond that well-trodden path.
Could not agree more.
Yeah.
It's about cultivating that intellectual curiosity.
Yes.
Developing those skills to think critically about all this information that we're just bombarded with every single day.
It's like they have the sixth sense, you know, for sniffing out these hidden gems, whether it's a global logistics powerhouse, a movie theater chain defying the odds.
And that's what makes this kind of deep dive so compelling, right? We're not just dissecting individual investments.
Right.
We're trying to grasp their underlying philosophy, how they connect the dots. It's about anticipating those seismic shifts that leave other investors, you know, scrambling to catch up.
It's a masterclass in contrarian thinking, but with a healthy dose of pragmatism. It's not just throwing darts at a board and hoping something sticks.
Right.
They're doing the legwork, analyzing entire industries, really getting to know these companies inside and out. They're crafting a thesis, a rock-solid thesis for why these, you know what? Let's be honest, they seem like oddball bets. But they make sense when you really dig in.
They're not swayed by, like, the flavor of the month or the latest market frenzy. They're digging deeper, looking for those fundamental strengths, you know?
Right.
Those strategic advantages that other people might miss in all the noise.
I think that's such a valuable lesson for all of us.
100%.
To look beyond what's right in front of us, you know, what's obvious, challenge those assumptions, even embrace a little bit of that contrarian spirit.
Absolutely. That's where the opportunity often lies, right?
Yeah. Just, okay.
Beyond that well-trodden path.
There you have it. A glimpse inside the minds of Third Point's investment team. They're showing us that a little curiosity, a healthy dose of skepticism, and a whole lot of research, it can unearth opportunity in the most unexpected corners of the market. Who knew that freight forwarding and movie theaters could be so fascinating?
Right. And it just reminds us that the market is brimming with possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be willing to look beyond the surface.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll leave you with this. What hidden gems are you overlooking? What assumptions are you holding on to that might be blinding you to that next big opportunity? Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.